And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, God was putting on my heart about strengthening in the inner man. And I'll explain a bit more what I mean as I go along. But it's absolutely fantastic to be with you this morning. I love coming here. I love sharing the word with you. And the scripture that I've got for today is Ephesians 3:16 to 19. And I'll be reading from the NIV version. And this is what it says. Verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, verse 18, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and deep and high is the love of Christ, verse 19, and to know that this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, there's much to unpack in this scripture today, but I'm going to concentrate on the link between being strengthened and love. Now, I said that we hear about the last day of Jesus' life because I refer to communion and the Last Supper. So I want you to imagine, if you like, if what the atmosphere was like just before Jesus goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. So if we think about it, he's just enjoyed what it's to him, you know, a sad meal with his disciples. Sad because he knows he's going to have to leave them soon. Sad that he knows that Judas is going to betray him. So there must have been a mixture of feelings going on there. Now, it says during that meal that he gave Judas several chances to change his mind about what he was going to do. And as we know, he didn't change his mind. Jesus knew that time was short, and he undoubtedly knew that his final prayers on earth needed to count. So I was just thinking about that. He's on his way to the Garden of Gethsemane. He knows that he's going to be arrested there. And it also says in John 18 that Judas knew this garden because Jesus had often taken his disciples there. So Jesus is on a place that is familiar to him. It might even have been a favourite place to take the disciples and pray. So I would like to ask, when we've got something important coming up, and let's face it, this is important for Jesus, what occupies our mind? Now, if we were just about to be arrested, perhaps for proclaiming the gospel, for example, and we knew we had very little time left before it happened, what would be on our minds? Would it be, help me God, please don't let me suffer? Would it be, how on earth can I avoid this? Please deliver me, I really, really don't want to go through this. Or would you phone everybody you knew and say, please, quick, just pray for me, I'm in a bit of a tight spot here. Or would you hurriedly give somebody instructions to remember to feed the cat, water the plants, or put your affairs in order for you? Well, personally, I'd probably be doing all of the above. Now, in John 17:26, we see that the one thing on Jesus' mind, just before all of this happens and he's arrested and taken to die, the one thing on his mind is love. So I'm just going to read John 17:26. I've made you known to them. So he's talking to God at this point. So the you is God. I've made you, God, known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I may myself be in them. So Jesus' prayer was for the same love that God had for him to be given to us, God's people. I find that pretty amazing. So why did Jesus think it was so important to pray for this at this point when he could have prayed a million other things? I believe it was because he knew how crucial God's love was to his plan and the benefit it would be to God's people. So we're going to look a little bit more deeply in today's scripture. And it's interesting to note that Ephesians 3:16 to 19 contain both strengthening the inner man and love, because we don't always connect the two. As we know, there's many different ways of strengthening our inner being. So for example, worship, reading the Bible, confessing the word, surrounding ourselves with people full of faith, for instance. There's lots of different ways, but I'd like us to notice the sequence in this verse. So first of all, he talks about being strengthened in power in our innermost being. He then talks about becoming rooted and established in God. He then talks about appreciating the full extent of God's love. And finally, being full of love. I don't think that sequence is there by accident. Being strengthened in our innermost being and love are often more linked than we think. We don't often consider how growing in God's love helps us strengthen our innermost being, but it does. As this scripture implies, God gives us the power to be strengthened and rooted and established in his love. Now, to be absolutely clear, when I say innermost being, I'm referring to that place deep within ourselves, the core of our being, the spiritual rather than the fleshly side of our being. And sometimes strengthening the inner man can be being determined in God, feeding ourselves with scripture so that we can grow in godly ways, and it can also be gaining spiritual resilience. Of course, it can be all of these things, but it's much more than this. So I'd like to go through in detail those four things that he mentions in that sequence that I said. And in this way, we can grow together and be strengthened at the same time. So the first thing that he mentions in this scripture is being strengthened in power in our innermost being. If we look at verses 16 and 17, we see that to be strengthened in the inner man is actually gaining more of God. So it's God himself living more fully in us. Because it says in verse 16 that he would grant you to be strengthened in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, obviously, sometimes there can be a difference between what's going on in our inner man and in our inner being and what's going on in our outer being. They can actually be doing the opposite at the same time. For example, 2 Corinthians 4:16 talks about our outward man perishing whilst the inner man is being renewed day by day. So as one dies, the other lives. Now, this begins to make a bit more sense when we think about growing in God, our outward flesh getting less as our inner spirituality getting greater. And as Christians, obviously the aim is to be aware of both sides, our inner and our outer being, and there to be no difference between the two. Now, I was thinking about this and I thought, well, what does Paul do? You know, does he say, quick help, God? How does he pray for these Ephesians? And I looked, and when Paul prays for the Ephesians, I noticed that he didn't pray for a quick method to deal with their problems. Instead, he prays constantly for their spiritual condition. And essentially, he prays constantly for the strengthening of their innermost being. Now, doing this, I think it says praying constantly there because it's just like training a muscle. And I would love to say that a nicely strengthened inner man takes 30 minutes and you're done. It doesn't. It takes repetition and training, and it's just like physical strength. It needs that time and that practice. So, why does Paul pray for the strengthening of the inner man? Why is it important to receive God's power? It's for several reasons. Thank you. It's so that we can stand against evil. It's so that we can stand and weather any storm, despite how we feel within that storm. It's so that we can remain grounded in love when we don't know God's direction. And finally, I believe the greatest reason lies in God's intent for us all. In other words, so that we may know the fullness of God. Now that brings us nicely to the second thing that was mentioned in the scripture that we're looking at today. Becoming rooted and establishing God's love. So verse 17, being rooted and grounded in love, we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So I said strengthening in our inner beings was just like working a muscle. It takes repetition, training and time. So how do we do this? How can we root ourselves in love? Well, one way, according to Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7, is diving deep into the soil, being strong and healthy, drawing life from the soil. In other words, it's us pushing deep into God, learning about his love, living our lives accordingly, and letting God's love lead our daily actions. So I'd like us to think about that for a moment. How can we personally ensure that we're rooted and growing in God's love? In Ephesians 3:8, Paul suggests that once we're rooted and established in love, we can grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of Christ is. And this is an amazing thing. The more you think about it, the more amazing it becomes. Because his love knows no end, it knows no boundaries. And I'd like Amanda to put the last slide up, please. And it's a little bit slow here, but you can see a cross. And all of that cross, it's got a few words on there, and it says wide, deep, long. So it's everything that this scripture is talking about, and you'll notice it's placed within the cross. So the word wide illustrates his accepting love. In other words, Christ opens his arms and embraces everybody. Everybody, no matter how broken we are. The word long illustrates his lasting love. There is nothing we have done, can do, or will do that can separate us from the love of Christ, because it's everlasting, it lasts forever. The word high here illustrates his exalting love. Ephesians 2, 6 and 7. God's promise is to raise us up and seat us with Christ and pour out incomparable riches of his grace on us in the coming ages. So one day we're going to receive just how much Christ has in store for us. If we think we've experienced that now, it's going to be so much more. We've only seen part of that now. The word deep here illustrates his sacrificial love. The longer we contemplate Jesus' sacrificial love on the cross, the deeper we come to appreciate it. Knowing that we're loved incomparably forever is because of Jesus' sacrificial love And this can give us a strong mind, one that understands the will of God, a strong will, one that is able to stand and fight when needed, and a strong emotional state. So you can begin to see how contemplating God's love, living your life in love, how that comes to strengthen us in our innermost being. So just as an aside for a moment, have you ever gone for a job interview and they've said, one of the questions has been, okay, can you do this job? Have you ever been asked, what's your superpower? Anybody ever been asked that? Yeah. So sometimes they ask and they say, what's your superpower? And what they really mean is, what do you consider to be your greatest asset? What do you consider to be your best skills, your personality? Now, this tells them a lot about your skills and personality, and it also tells them what defines you as a person. So let's take a moment and ask ourselves, does the width, depth, height and length of God's love, does that define me as a person? Is God's love my greatest asset? And by the way, it's okay not to know. Just ask him to show you. Now, the third part of that verse, it talks about the word deep and appreciating the full extent of God's love. So in Ephesians 3:18, it says that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, length, and depth, and height to know the love of Christ. Now, a few years ago, God showed me how much he loves me, and it was a real revelation because I thought I was doing okay. And I realised that the view that I held of myself was actually different to how God saw me. His view was way more positive. I had to take this on board, and as I did so, it strengthened my personal identity and my faith. And God's love living in me has helped me through some difficult and troubled times. Times when I didn't understand the direction of God. But because I knew that nothing ever falls from his grasp, it gave me the spiritual energy to carry on. And ever since that day years ago, I have had massive fun exploring the width, the length, the height and the depth of God's love, and the love that he has for all his children. So my prayer for us all is therefore to be strengthened by God, discover and appreciate his love together, and come to a greater fullness of God's love. So you might be asking, well, how do we do it? How do we do it? Well, we can put on the word of God, Ephesians 6:13-17, the armour of God, we can put that on. We can praise him. We can read or listen to the word. Why do we do that? It's because it protects us. So a second way we can appreciate a greater fullness of God's love, we can pray because it gives us direction. We can also spend time and mix with faith-filled people. Why? Because iron sharpens iron. Proverbs 27:17. We can also be determined to love others even when they don't deserve to be loved. So, as you know, we are called to love the unlovely sometimes. Why? Because it does a work for us in eternity. And finally, we can choose to have a different outlook. Why? Because changing our perspective means that we understand things differently. Now, I just want to ask you, changing the subject slightly, how many of us have taken a coffee order at Costa for a group of friends? And it's quite a few different. Now, imagine if we think about that coffee order, and I've got one down here that I happened to take for a group of people, and I had to order a skinny latte a black Americano, a soy milk steamer, and a cup of tea for a group of four of us. And every one of the orders was different. People liked the coffee different, people liked different milks, etc. Imagine if we viewed a coffee order the same way that we viewed other people's differences. When we take a coffee order, it can be completely different. Nobody bats an eyelid. Imagine if we viewed everybody's differences in that same way. God needs all of us, whatever our differences, or he would not have needed to make us all. None of us are perfect, and we all have faults. But however bad we feel about ourselves, there is, as we know, absolutely no condemnation in Christ. God has put so much ability in each one of us, and we all have a different mixture of abilities, just like that coffee order. Each one of us are loved and cherished by him. I can't tell you how much. And whether we feel that often, or whether we feel that not at all, it remains true. Most importantly, it's true whether people treat us that way or not. And we can do so much more. We can give ourselves credit because of God, because he is changing us from glory to glory. And I would just say, let's all enjoy the stage of glory we're at right now, whatever stage that may be. So the fourth stage in the verse that we were talking about was Ephesians, right at the end of that verse, about being full of God. So we've looked so far about how strengthened in the inner being and love are linked. We've traced through the process that we go to be strengthened and in our inner spiritual being and rooted and established in love. And all of this is important, which is why I don't think the sequence is there by accident, why it's written in this way. It's so that we can appreciate the full extent of God's love, so that we can be full of God. Now, I believe there's a lot of references to love in the Bible, because it's many, many words of encouragement for us to love. For example, Mark 12:30-31, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind and all your strength." Verse 31, the second is this: "Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And then in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, NIV version, it says, "May the Lord make the love that we have increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else." It is God's grace and power, and the fact that Jesus died on the cross, that we're all personally able to say, "I am the one that God loves." So, Amanda, if you could just put the last bit of this up. There's a little bit of words there. We can all say this about ourselves, and then if you could click on again. It says there, if you can't read it, "I am the one that God loves." We can say that personally, because his love for each of us is deep. And so I pray that we would all be full of God's love in the next few weeks and months as we go about our daily lives, and that we could personally own this and say, "I am the one that God loves." And I'm going to leave you with this image before we go to our final song.